All right. And building blocks is dismissed. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. We're going to be starting our new sermon series next Sunday, looking into the statements that Jesus made in the book of John, the I Am statements about who he is. But today we're going to be doing a one-part series, and I'm going to try to keep this somewhat short because I'm excited to be here, but at the same time, I'm a little bit tired. So we just got back this morning. It was great being back in Ann Arbor. It's always great going back. For me, that's kind of like my spiritual home. And so I think, but it's been about 2 years since I've actually gone back. And so believe it or not, every time I go back, there's so much that changes. And so even this year when we went back, their leadership, it's changed so much. A group of new people that God is raising up. I found out my brother-in-law, Susan's brother, is actually on band now, playing the keyboard, which is kind of weird, because I was like, Paul, what's he doing up there? But I was really blessed that he's getting more involved with the church there and so forth. So it was good, and seeing Pastor Andrew's entire family. I was just reminded really of just this kindred spirit that we have with one another, and really that partnership in the gospel, and just even the retreat itself, the conference itself. Hopefully the messages will be online, but Pastor Andrew is like the definition of expositional preaching, you know, going by like verse by verse. So have like 3 points, and under those 3 points, you have like 5 sub-points. Literally, is it going verse by? He's really good at that. So went through the book of Jonah, and it was really good just hearing God's heart for the nations through it. So if you have an opportunity, I really want to encourage you to try to listen to it online. Today we want to talk about Hebrews 12, and the title of today's message is, it's an endurance race, okay? It's an endurance race. And I wanted to talk about this a little bit because this has been simmering in me. So it's just going to be 1 point, and we'll make it fairly short, but I've been thinking about this for the last week and a half or 2 weeks or so because I knew that this conference was coming up, and I also know that for the students, our students, as well as our Ann Arbor students who are there, I'm sure it was a great conference. I'm sure God spoke to them a lot. But, I've gotten to the point where I've gone to enough conferences and, I've heard enough messages where initially it's great, but then the question is, how do we continue to sustain the passions and the convictions that God has placed in our hearts, right? By the way, this really reminds me of that first year, right, Ben, when we were meeting at Dolby? That's true. It is a little bit. Maybe if like half of y'all were gone, like this would be our first year. Man, a lot of memories that are coming back. Maybe I'm feeling very nostalgic because of our Ann Arbor trip. But that question always lingers in my mind, right? Because even for me, I've gone through so many cycles, ups and downs of where I really felt like, yeah, these are the convictions that God has spoken into my life. But then maybe like a week or two or a month later, it's really hard for me to try to sometimes remember what those were. And even if I remember what those were, like really try to live that out. And I don't want to say the older I get, I don't want to say it's cynicism, but maybe it's just being more, I don't know what the right word is. More authentic, more real, just more real in terms of not only the power of Christ, but also, thank you, also just the shortcomings that we have in our lives. And so I was thinking about that, and then I recently had a conversation with my mom because I still have one of my grandparents who's alive. In Korea, my grandfather on my mother's side, and He's 99, so he's going to be turning 100 next year. And she was saying it would be so great if our family can actually fly out to Korea next year to see him, because he's always talking about wanting to see my kids and so forth. And, you know, as I was talking to my mom, the remarkable thing about my grandfather, well, first of all, he's 100, which means he was born in, 1918, right? Because next year is going to be 2018. So he was born in 1918, so he's going to be 100 years old. But not only that, but he's been a Christ follower for the last 80 years of his life, because it was in his late teenage years that he became a Christian. And so for the last 80 so years of his life that he's been following after Christ. And in fact, he's been at the same church for the last 45 years, serving at the same church. And actually, when he was in his late 70s, his ministry, he was one of the elders there, and his ministry was going and picking up all the older people, so folks in their 60s. And he would pick them up in the morning, and they would go to morning prayer and then go have breakfast, and then he would drop them off, right? He was doing this in his 70s. And so he's been at the same church for the last 40 years, just faithfully serving. And the thing that my mom always tells me whenever I talk to her and I just ask her how my grandfather is, she lets me know that even though he's not able to go to morning prayers now, because it's a little bit harder for him to move around, but he's still very proud of the fact that he goes to church all by himself on Sundays. So he's 99, and every Sunday he takes the bus and he goes to church, but every morning he wakes up and he's still praying for me. And the last time I talked to my grandfather was a while back, but he kept on calling me Reverend Kim. He's like, "How are you, Reverend Kim?" I'm like, "This is really weird. This is coming from my grandfather, right?" But you could tell, like, he was so proud that I was in the ministry and trying to serve the Lord faithfully. And, you know, when I think about my grandfather's life, he's a very humble man. I mean, there isn't anything that's, like, extravagant. But I think one thing, as I was really thinking about, gosh, he's 100 years old. He's been a Christian for the last 80-some years. Like, I don't know what that's like. Faithfully serving in the same church for over 40 years of his life. I think, if anything, the way that I could describe my grandfather's life is just this faithful, consistent follower, or faithful, consistent following of Christ in his life. And I remember last time I was talking to my mom, she was saying, you know, last time I talked to your grandfather, he was saying, you know, I think I'm ready to go home. So he's saying he's ready to go to heaven now to see Jesus. But he says, for some strange reason, God still wants me here on earth. He's like, I'm ready to go home, but I'm still here. So I'm just trying to be faithful until God calls me home. And I was thinking, man, what an awesome perspective. And I was thinking about that a little bit. And I was thinking about, in light of like the Ignite conference, and just thinking about how long are these convictions going to last. I was just really trying to wrestle with, just in my own life, what this followership of Christ is supposed to look like. Because I think for many of us, including myself, are at the beginning stages of this journey, right? The beginning stage of trying to figure out what it's supposed to look like and how it's supposed to work as we try to follow Christ, and how that translates into us trying to live out our faith as students, us trying to live out our faith in our workplaces and so forth, what it's all supposed to look like, and hopefully 60 or 80 years down the line, where exactly we're going to be and what fruits that we're going to be producing in our lives. And I was thinking about this, and especially on Friday, I would really think about this. Friday was a weird day for me. I flew into Ann Arbor, and then I went to this one park that Susan and I used to go jogging all the time, Gallup Park, in the afternoon. I went for a very long jog, and I was just thinking about everything that God has done in my life in Ann Arbor, as well as just my grandfather's life and reflecting on it. And all this bubbled into this short message that we're going to be talking about today. Okay, so Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. This is the word of God. It says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So the one thing that I want to remember, I want us to remember this afternoon simply is this, that our journey with Christ is an endurance race. That our journey with Christ is an endurance race. Right? So there's a couple of observations that I want to make from this passage, and then we'll close out our time together. Okay. So the first thing that we see right away, he says, therefore, right? And so in other words, I think Hebrews 11 is a very famous chapter. Many of us know very well. He's talking about the Hall of Faith, right? All these people who have gone before us by faith, they were able to yada, 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 and such and such and such. He's talking about Abraham and Moses and so forth. And then so his conclusion is, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And that's the first thing that I want us to remember in this journey with Christ, that we are surrounded by a cloud of great witnesses. And these great witnesses, that they're a great witness, not necessarily because they were able to do great things, right? It's not that they were able to go out and start great movements, or they were able to start awesome missional initiatives. It's not that they were great people because they were able to do great things, although some of them, they were able to do great things. But they were great because to the end, they chose to cling to Christ. Because we see and hear stories of men and women of God who were able to do awesome things. But then at the end of Hebrews 11, the writer writes and he says that some suffered mockings and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in sheep's skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, to whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. These people who experienced tremendous sufferings, these people who literally were homeless because of their faith. I think what the writer is trying to point out is the fact that they were able to endure to the end. And this is the great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us and that reminds us that they have paved the way for us, that they have set the example for us of what it really means to love Christ, what it means to live out his purposes, that it's not just doing great things for the sake of doing great things, but it's really about following Christ and clinging on to Christ to the end, right? So the first thing that he reminds us is that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. But not only that, but the second thing that he reminds us is that as we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, that he reminds us that our focus, it needs to be clear. Because after he talks about the great cloud of witnesses, he says this, he says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So in other words, he's saying that in order for you to run this race, then you have to lay aside or cast aside every weight, anything that's going to slow you down, and sin that clings so closely. In other words, what he's saying is simply this. You have to know what you are running for. That your intentions, your focus, it has to be clear. Because he is saying, if you know that you are running this race and it's going to be an endurance race, and there are going to be certain things that you're not going to take with you, because you know that those things are going to slow you down. And I think he's saying the same thing. That in this pursuit of Christ, that our focus needs to be clear. That we have to know our purpose and we have to know our destiny. And I was thinking about this a little bit, especially because I was talking to one of the guys in Ann Arbor and just found out that he got engaged recently and so forth. And so we're talking about the upcoming wedding and so forth. And I was thinking about, you know, if you're planning for your honeymoon, right? Like, there's going to be certain things that you're not going to bring with you on that honeymoon trip. Or at least I hope to God that you won't bring with you, like your work, right? You're not going to bring your laptop from work. Hopefully not. Because why? Your focus is very clear. It's a time for you and your spouse to get to know one another better. So it's not like, honey, you know what? I need to do 3 or 4 hours of work. And so why don't you go into the ocean by yourself while I stay in? You're going to have problems. And I think he's saying the same thing. I think you have to be very clear in terms of what you are called to. Otherwise, you're just going to be putting on extra weight that's going to slow you down. And he's saying it's not easy. He mentions that it's not only the weight, but it's the sin that clings so closely. And so I would really want to challenge us. I think we are in this life stage where the things that we're aiming for, it's not so clear. Right? When you are at my grandfather's age, like 99, about to turn 100, like what you are aiming for is very clear. You're aiming for heaven. But you're like when you're 21, graduated, entering into the workplace for the first time, or you're slowly building up your career, the things that you're trying to aim for, it's not very clear. But the author is reminding us that it needs to be clear. And it's not necessarily our career path, or it's not necessarily how our passions are going to be lived out that's clear, but what's clear is Jesus. And so that has to be our ultimate focus. And so as we work, our focus is Christ and what it means to bring glory to Christ. As we study, our focus is Christ. As we reach out, our focus is Christ. As we think about maybe missions overseas, our focus is Christ. And so the author reminds us, not only are we surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, but also that our focus needs to be clear. And then the last thing that he points out is not only does our focus need to be clear, he says this in verse 2, he says, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He reminds us clearly that it's really an endurance race that we are running. For before that, he says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And how we run this race that we have to endure through is by looking to Christ. And so the third point that he makes is that we have to look to Jesus as our example. That he is the founder and the perfecter of our faith. Right? He is the one who establishes our faith, and he's the one who continues to grow and refine our faith. And he says, the author says, the example that Jesus sets before us is what? Who for the joy that is set before him endure the cross. It's this life of joyful endurance. I was listening to someone and they were saying, you know, in our modern day Christianity, what many of us liken our Christian faith is we compare our Christian faith to a 100-meter dash rather than a marathon race, right? Because when you think about a 100-meter dash, it's exciting, it's really fast, you get things done, and it's over. Versus a marathon race is something that is very long and very tedious and something that keeps going on and on and on and on. And this person was mentioning how words like faithfulness and daily consistency, that it's not necessarily in our vocabulary. That when we think about what it means to pursue after Christ, we don't think about words like being steadfast, being consistent, and being faithful day in and day out. But I think that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews is telling us. That when you think about what it means to pursue after Christ, it is about the long endurance that we need. It is about day in and day out and going to work and being consistent and being faithful. And not just doing that on a weekly basis, but doing that for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years of our lives. That it's this endurance race that we need to live, that every day learning to be faithful and consistent and steadfast, and really it's through our faithfulness that Christ is able to receive the glory. So that this race, it's not about what we are able to accomplish. It's not about somehow me finishing the finish line. But it's through our daily faithfulness that Christ receives the glory and the honor and the praise. And that's what it means to be a Christ follower. That our goal needs to be where we want to endure to the end. That we want to last, that we want to be consistent, that we want to be consistent in our love of who Christ is, that we want to be consistent in our service, we want to be consistent in how we engage in the mission of Christ. And so the writer reminds us that it's really an endurance race that we are running. And so I just want to leave us with this, and so I was thinking about it. I mean, it's not really an exciting message, right? When we think about, okay, that means you just have to be faithful. Going into work, doing the thing that you do every single day. That it's really through your steadfastness, it's through your faithfulness that Christ will receive the glory, right? It's about you being a good and faithful worker. It's about you growing as a good and faithful husband. It's about you growing as a faithful life group member. It's about learning to be steadfast. It's about engaging in the work of the gospel, not just here and now, but really thinking next 10, 20, 30 years. But that's what the Christian life should be. That this endurance race that we run by fixing our eyes on Christ. And I was just thinking about, I don't think I'm going to live till 100. It might be in my genetics, but I think it skipped me because of my cholesterol and all that stuff. But if I can just reach my 80s, right, that's my goal, like 85. I was thinking, when I reflect back on all the years of my life, what are the things that I'm going to be the most proud about? And I'm starting to think this way a little bit because I'm slowly reaching like my mid-40s. And like your mid-40s, that means you're no longer looking ahead to the life that's to come, right? But you're looking ahead to heaven that's to come, right? You're entering into the last leg of your race, so to speak. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be depressing here. And so you're thinking about, okay, so when that day comes when Christ calls me home, like what are the things that I'm going to remember? What are the things that I'm really going to be proud about? And I was thinking about it. I don't think it's going to be like that one day when I was able to do that spectacular thing. Or that one day when I was able to, you know, like preach and many people responded. Or I don't think it's going to be any of these like flashes. But I think the thing that I'm going to remember the most is going to be the daily faithfulness of just being a good pastor, being a faithful pastor, being a faithful father and a husband, being a faithful member in our society, in our city, of learning to love the people around me on a consistent basis. And whenever I think about us, at least for myself, standing before Christ and hearing Christ saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," I think that's what Jesus is going to be referring to. That he's going to be referring to the fact that we were able to run this race of endurance. That every single day, even mundane things like opening up the Bible and trying to love Jesus. Every single day, things like at least trying to bless the people around you, trying to remind yourself of the gospel, trying to fight against sin, trying to serve faithfully in the church. I think it's these things that God is going to commend us for, and he's going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And you know, I think when we're young, especially in the society that we live in, You know, we have dreams of making it big in our 30s and retiring by our 40s, right? But I don't think that's the biblical picture that we have of what it means to be a follower of Christ, who every single day learns to love the things that God loves and is steadfast in living out the convictions that God places in our lives. And so that's what I think God was reminding me over and over again for the last 2 weeks, and especially as we go into this summer. I think what it means to be in this season of go, and what it means to engage in the lives of people, and what it means to share the gospel, and what it means to be excited, I think part of that has to come from the fact that we are learning to be steadfast. That it's not just the summer that we put all of our time and energy and effort into accomplishing these things and then that's it, but it's for the rest of our lives. And so it's living in the moment and following Christ, yet realizing that it's this race of endurance that we are running. And it's this race of endurance actually that is set before us. In other words, it's the course that God is shaping in our lives. And so that's what I want to close with. I want to close with just reminding all of us and encouraging us to aim for steadfastness in our pursuit of Christ. That consistent daily followership that will translate into 40, 50 years of faithfulness. And I was thinking, man, it would be so great to think about the next 40 years. And I realize not everyone's going to be around, but maybe some of us will be around and we can reminisce about how we were able to build God's kingdom together 40 years. So hopefully I'll be around. Right, how we were able to build God's kingdom together in this city of Austin, faithfully serving and loving his people, faithfully serving and loving Christ, faithfully pursuing after holiness and righteousness. And I think the things that we're going to be the most proud about, I think it's going to be in the small things of learning to love the people in our life group and learning to serve in small ways and learning to be steadfast and learning consistently to pursue Christ. Let's stand together. You know, when I think about this Hebrews 12 passage, I mean, I think about it, and I think that's what the gospel is, right? Because the gospel isn't just about Christ coming to die for our sins and saving us, and that's it. But the gospel is that as we experience his grace and mercy, that every single day of our lives that we're being renewed and refined and made more and more into his image. And so what the author is pointing out is the fact that the power of the gospel, that it's to transform our hearts, not in that moment only, but really for the rest of our lives. That every single day, and there's a song that we learned when we were little, right? Little by little and every day, little by little in every way. That Jesus, he's changing us. He's renewing us. He's refining us. He's molding us. And that's the kind of testimonies and the legacies that I would love all of us to leave behind for the generations to come. Like, I'm thinking, when I'm around my grandfather's age and when I have grandchildren of my own, and when they think about their grandfather and my faith, what I want them to remember isn't, well, he was a pastor. But what I want them to remember is that my grandfather, what I saw in his life, was that he was able to love Christ on a consistent basis. And day in and day out, he was faithful. And I know that I am so far from it because I am not consistent. In fact, I'm the opposite of what it means to be consistent. I'm very erratic. But this is where we look to Christ. Because I know that it's not something that I can do within my own power and strength. Because if it was up to my power and strength, there's no way that I would make it. But it's the power of the gospel that is able to transform and renew our lives. I think that's a really interesting question. Like, what will be said of your life and what will be said of your faith when you are heading into your 70s and 80s? This legacy that you will leave behind for the generations that will come after you. That when they look to you and your followership of Christ, what will be said of you? Will people say that he or she, that they were able to run this race of endurance? Let's run this race of endurance. And let's ask God to continue to fuel our passions and our faith so that every single day our purpose isn't somehow to be fulfilled. Our purpose isn't somehow to have these great experiences. But our purpose every single day is to be faithful and to experience joy in that faithfulness. And I pray that that will spill over into not only your relationship with God, but that will spill over into your relationship with one another here and in your relationship with others outside of our church. That we can run this race of endurance, and that every single day of our lives, that we can faithfully pursue after Christ. Last thought before we close. The amazing thing about this great cloud of witnesses that surround us, I was thinking about it, it's not just those who have gone before us, but I think it's also one another here in this place as well. Not that we're great, not that we're perfect, but God has given us this community so that through us living out our faith in the community, that we can encourage one another and remind one another that we are running a race of endurance. That's why when you're running long distances, I don't know about you, but for me, when you run it with someone, it's so much easier. Like when I run with my dog versus by myself, it's so much better to run with Bruno. Because when I run with Bruno or when I run with my wife, like I don't want to give up, even though I get tired. But when I'm by myself and when I get tired, then it's easy for me to walk. And then when there's a car comes by, then I run a little bit. And then when I get tired, I start walking again. that we need to be that great cloud of witnesses for one another. And we need to press each other on and say, come on, let's find joy in our faithfulness. Let's discover the joy that God has for us in our endurance. And let's pursue after Christ with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our minds. And let's make Him the center of everything that we do. So, Father, we come before You today. We thank You, we praise You, God, for this reminder that we are running this race of endurance. And we pray that as we come before You, that You will continue to build us up, God, in our hearts. That You'll remind us that You have already set the race course for us. And that as we faithfully follow after You, God, that we can encourage one another on in that race. And that we can remind one another that it's not a 100-meter dash, but it's a marathon that we are running. And that every single day that You will open up our hearts so that we can truly discover the joy of what it means to be faithful, what it means to endure, and what it means to pursue after You, God. So we pray, Lord, that even throughout the summer, that You will allow us to experience that joy in our faithful pursuit of You, God. In our faithful pursuit, God, of Your purposes. And in our faithful pursuit of the work that You are desiring to do in our lives and through our church. So we thank You. We praise You, God. This is how I want us to close out today. Normally, you know, we have some time where we kind of pray on our own and we sing some songs and so forth, but I thought it would be so great in light of just what we read today about these witnesses that are cheering one another on. I thought it would be so great for us to pray for one another. To really bless and to remind each other of this race of endurance that we are running. And so can we do that? Maybe we can turn to whoever is next to us. Whether you guys want to grab hands or not, I mean, I'll leave that up to you guys. Just one person start. And just really pray over that person and ask God to give them the strength and the joy to run after Christ and to experience the joy and endurance. And then once you pray for that person will pray for you. And then afterwards, we'll just pray for this upcoming summer as a church. And then we'll close out our time together. Okay? Can we do that? Let's pray for one another before we leave.